My name is Craig Stevens, and I'm so grateful that you're with us. People all around the world, especially those of you over there on the West Coast, you join us before you go to church, and it is an honor and a privilege. And I'm glad that you're here as well. We don't want to exclude the local congregation here or the one that's watching us out there. And today I'm continuing on from last week. Pastor Terry has been teaching us about what to do when your faith seems weak and the victory seems to be lost. Well, let me help you with something. The victory's not lost, never is, because Jesus has already won. And all we're doing is walking out his victory in the earth today. You agree with that?
Yes.
That's what we're doing. Well, it doesn't feel like it. Who said we're supposed to feel any certain way about things? It doesn't look like it. We walk by faith, not by sight, right? Man, I'm getting started early and hadn't even really got going yet. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and we thank you for your word, sir. We have faith in your word. Because of that faith in our word, we'll never stumble nor fall. We stay connected to you. There's victory in our life and in our future. And we thank you that we're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Heaven is our home. We are walking victorious in life through Jesus Christ. Father, we ask you to wash us in your word now, that we'll never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name, we have ears to hear and hearts to receive it. In the name that's above every name that's named in heaven, and I say it with me, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay, here we go. So we've been talking about that. Somebody, I've got this. You ever gotten a splinter under your fingernail? You can't get that rascal out. That's what happened over the weekend, and I bumped it as we started. Okay, so one of the keys in living victoriously is making sure what you're believing for, this is review from last week, is scriptural. I cannot believe for something that the atonement of Jesus did not provide.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yes.
For example, I can't take Mark 11:23, whatsoever things you say, believe in your heart, shall come to pass. Paraphrasing that verse, right? So it said, whatsoever I'm believing for, I can have it, right? So if I confess I'm going to go rob the bank, and I believe in my heart, and there's no doubt, then I will not get caught, because that's my confession. And I'm going to give every bit of that money to the church. Now, can I believe for that using Mark? It says, turn to Mark 11:23. Let me show you. Let me show you what it says. You guys are all telling me it won't work. Where's Mark? It's right before Luke. Mark 11. I don't want to paraphrase it anymore. Verse number 23, and Jesus, verse 22, have faith in God. I'm having faith in God concerning this. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, I'm a whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things which he says, right, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Okay, so I'm a whatsoever. And according to this, I say that I will go to the bank and politely request $50,000 or whatever's in the till there, put it in this bag, and I'm not doubting in my heart. I believe that these things will come to pass. I'll have whatever I say. So put all the money in this bag and do not call the police in the name of Jesus. And I walk out. You guys are laughing at me. Am I doing what this says? Am I doing what this says? Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Well, I'm praying before I go in. Father, I thank you. I'm going to go in there in the name of Jesus. I'm going to get a lot of money for the kingdom because of the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. I've got a verse to stand on. I've got a verse. No, I'm not going to the bank now. I'm going to go up to Oklahoma to the casino. I'm going to rob the casino because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, the verse says. Come on. Why won't this work? Because I'm a thief. Why won't it work? Because I am violating the commandments. You cannot believe for something that the atonement of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection did not provide. And you're using this verse foolishly. I don't even like making the analogy with it. It kind of gives me a feeling. It doesn't sound good, does it? It doesn't feel right. It's like taking a shower with your socks on in the shower. It just doesn't feel right. So you can't do that. I cannot. God's not going to allow you to use his word to violate his word. Right? So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to find out that what I'm believing for is scriptural. It is okay for a man to believe for a wife. Not somebody else's wife, though. You with me on this? Because it is scriptural. He that finds a wife finds the good things and obtains favor from the Lord. That's scriptural. So I can believe for a wife. Yes?
Yes.
So you've got to keep this thing in context. You cannot believe for something that the precious blood of Jesus did not provide for you. You can't believe for something to break the law. Okay? So next time you're up against the wall here, make sure that the next step is to be sure that the promises of God, the scriptures, cover the thing you're asking for. So let me tell you a little story that happens every single day. Spencer, you teach in the Bible school. I don't know if it happens with you, for it's just I'm special or something.
You are special.
But I am special, thank you. Every single day, somebody comes to me with a prayer request. Does that happen? All the time, doesn't it? Well, I've kind of put the brakes on that rascal Friday. I said, okay, wait, before you dump your prayer request on me and now I'm carrying your prayer request.
Right. Yes, hello, come on.
Give me a verse. Give me two verses. Because people will do that to you all the time. Every time we do a television program where it's home group or Liberty Line, whatever it is, even those programs, I'll watch the feed as it's coming in live, and people will say, pray for this and pray for this person and pray for this. See, here's the deal. We will, and we agree. We pray. This is a praying place. Right? But if I don't know what I'm praying for, let me give you a word of advice. Don't ever, when I was a kid, we had unspoken prayer requests. Remember unspoken? Everybody's had unspoken prayer requests. Testimony time and unspoken prayer requests were the two big things in church. I don't ever agree with an unspoken prayer request because I don't know what I'm agreeing for. I have no idea what I'm agreeing with. And I don't want to agree with something that's contrary to the word. Because all I'm doing is setting myself up and them up for failure. And then they're going to wonder why it didn't happen. And Pastor Greg's prayers don't work. Okay, you guys are looking at me kind of funny today. So what are we believing for? What is it? Find it in the Word. I heard Brother Copeland on a video we played for the students talking about the word he used or the scripture he used to fly, to have the planes and to fly. And it was talking about going on the high places. Now, see, when I hear going on the high places, because of my training, I hear negative things when the kingdom of Israel split and he set up a temple on the high places. But he saw something in that word and he grabbed hold of it because of his pilot training. Do you see what I'm saying? And so this is why you don't need me to agree with you for you to get something from God. All things are possible to him that believes. Michelle has faith for houses that this guy doesn't have. I'm just being honest. And I hook up with her. And I just say, I agree with you. And I'm just going to be quiet and shut my mouth. There's a lesson for somebody. And just hook up with her faith, not tear her faith down, not tell her, well, you know what that will cost us? Well, do you know what the upkeep of this would be? Well, do you know this? You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to come back at her with that. I'm going to hook my faith up with her. Because I realize that women have a special faith for houses based upon the word. Read Proverbs. She will build her house. I'm just going to be happy about it because it's going to be good. Right? So believing God is believing in his word. So who's up against something right now? Who's believing for something right now? I saw this lady's hand right here, right there in the red.
Yes.
Give me a verse. What are we believing for?
The house.
A house. Give me a verse.
Proverbs
18, 19. What does it say? It'll be a broad place. Ma'am, you, what were you believing for?
I'm believing for
finances,
that I'm a tither.
Finances, what verses?
Malachi
3:8. Who else is believing something? Now nobody wants to answer. They're all like, nobody, Spencer, not a single person in the room is making eye contact. You got one? What?
I'm believing for 100 fold returns.
100 fold? Wait, let me, I trust you with this.
I'm believing for 100-fold returns.
Green mic.
I'm believing for 100-fold returns.
100-fold returns.
According to Mark 10:29.
What does Mark 10:29 say?
It says, if any man has left houses, mothers, fathers, brothers, yes, sisters, wife, children, lands, for my sake and the gospel, he shall receive 100-fold now in this time.
There you go. Now, oh, now in this time. Wow. You see a difference than just saying, I'm believing for X, Y, Z. When you can back it up with the word, you have something now. You now have something you can grab hold of. You. I told you last time that you find scriptures for the promise of what you're praying for. You're always on safe ground when you pray the word. You're always on safe ground when you believe the word. Come on now. So I challenge these students, what are we believing for? What are we praying for? Where do we go? How do I hook up with you? Here's the deal. Don't just stand on a word that you have memorized.
That's good.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Okay, here's the deal. That word, you can stand on that one. I want you to go back and I want you to reread that. I want you to open it up and read it again to yourself out loud. Meditate on it, mutter it over and over and over, especially the ones you've memorized. Go back again and again and again because you've got it down memorization. But what'll happen is the Lord will show you one little thing you didn't see in that.
Right. That's right.
All right? And then it'll become alive to you again. Get his words in your mouth. Guys, that's a key to this thing. Not what you think, not what Big Mama thinks, what the word says. Let me show you a clip from Brother Copeland. I'll come back. We'll talk about this in a minute.
Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider this. Now, we found he's called a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, but we are partakers of that high priestly calling. So that anointing that's on him is on us. It isn't just on the head, it's on the body. So here it is. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. Now I told you later tonight we'd get to this and we'll introduce this right now. The one God appointed and sent. The apostle and high priest of our profession, the anointed Jesus. That's what he's anointed to do. Now that word profession there, literally transmitted, that's good. Literally translated, literally means this, to say the same thing. Now it's interesting that the Holy Ghost used the English word profession here. This is truly our profession. What is a profession? That's what you do. What do you do? How do you do what you do? When you get into the body of Christ, We don't work to earn a living. The just shall live by faith. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no toil with it. He adds no sorrow with it. He don't make you pay for it. Don't you see here? He is the high priest of his words in our mouths, and his words in our mouths is our profession. That's who we are. We are high priest, joint heirs. He's king of kings. We are the kings over which he is king. He is the chief administrator, and we are the ministers.
You're a minister. See, you think you have to stand here to be a minister. You're going to come in more contact with more people every week than I do. My goodness. You're a minister of the gospel. The Lord will take full-time ministers and disguise them as school teachers and put them in a classroom. He'll take a full-time minister, disguise them as a police officer, stick them in a squad car. He'll take a full-time minister, disguise them as a lawyer, put them in a courtroom or as a judge, disguises them that way. You need to start seeing yourself the way heaven sees you. You have the ministry of reconciliation, Paul said. You are ministers. You're here reconciling the world back to what it's supposed to be. He'll take a full-time minister, disguise, put them in a uniform, stick them in one of the military branches. I know that because one of those guys is what turned my life back around to where I needed to, the direction I needed to go. God used that man in Saudi Arabia where he's not allowed. Go figure. I guess he doesn't know he's not supposed to be there, but the Lord showed up. Isn't that something? You need to start seeing yourself as a professional at praying and speaking the word. This is my profession. This is what I do. Somebody comes to you. Well, let me just, here I got a verse for you. You need a verse? Let me help you. I got one right here over in Psalms. And you know what? That reminds me of one over in Ephesians and one in Corinthians. And you're a professional at giving them a word to hang their hat on, to hang their faith on. You're a professional at speaking the word. Come on, get a vision for this thing. That's my profession. This is what I do. And when I do it, the Lord Jesus agrees with it because I'm saying the same thing he says. And when I do that, if you confess me or say the same thing before men, I will confess you or what you just said. I'll say the same thing. That's the word confession in the Greek means to say the same thing. If you say the same thing before people, I will say the same thing before my Father. And the Father does what? He says, amen. And amen means so be it. And when God says so be it to something, it's done. And there's not a devil or anything that can stop that. There's not a nurse in the hospital with a bad report that can stop that. Oh my God. That rose up right out of here. You hear that? There's no report that can stop that. Once he says amen to it. So now I'm going to keep saying what he said. And Jesus is going to keep repeating what I said to the Father, and the Father is going to keep saying, so be it. And that thing's done. So go back to that memory verse again and read it out loud. Find new ones. Run references on it because you're a professional at speaking the word in faith. That's what you're a pro at. You're not a rookie at this. You're a professional. Woo! God Almighty, that. About something getting in my shoes besides my feet. I'm about to make myself happy. I don't know if I'm doing anything for you. Now, the enemy's going to try to change his tactics. Friday night, my son's high school football team won the district championship here in Texas. Now, they have one more game to go, but it doesn't matter on this one. They've already won it. They went up on the road to a team out here in the country, a bunch of farm boys. The whole town is German. And there's some big boys. We watched them during warm-ups. I was like, our guys look so little compared to them. But we're fast. We're little, but we're fast and wiry. And we've had trouble with this team in the past. Their coach has been scouting us for weeks. And our coach worked something up for him. And he didn't run a single play or formation that we've run all year, the entire first half. He didn't run a single play that we normally run. And we were in a different formation. And you could tell the first time we came out to run a play, he called timeout. The other team coached it. What are they doing? Because we do the same thing all the time. We're consistently doing the same thing. I'm helping somebody in here if you'll make the correlation. We're consistently doing the same thing in the Word all the time. But for whatever reason, see, what we do is we hand off. We've got two great running backs. And so they'll stick nine guys right here. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And load that area. And all of a sudden, we didn't have our formation. We were spread out all over the place, and people were moving. And you could see their players were confused. Anyway, we beat them. We didn't just beat them. We beat them. Yes. We stomped a mud hole in them and then stomped that mud hole dry. I mean, it's 42-0. And this is a team that, I mean, this doesn't happen. This sent a message across the state. You better watch out for these little guys. The key is to keep on the offensive with your opponent. I'm talking about our opponent. We know who our opponent is, right? We need to keep on the offensive. And I heard the coach saying it all the time. Before that team knew what had happened, it was 21-0. And nobody's done 21-0 on them. I mean, nobody does that to them on their field in Munster, Texas. It doesn't happen. And I heard our coach say, do not let up. Gentlemen, do not let up. Keep your foot on the gas. Do not let up. Do not let up. We were doing all kinds of things, fake punts and everything else. Do not let up. And then the fourth quarter, he was saying, do not let up. And we're up by 40 points now, you know, 30-something points now. Do not let up. And that's the way we're going to have to be in our faith concerning our enemy. Do not let up. You cannot let up. We're going to keep our foot on him. We're going to keep going forward. We're going to keep taking ground. We're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. And that's exactly what happened. Don't do it ever the same way twice. The key is keeping on offense. Let me show you this in the life of David. Go to 2 Samuel, please, chapter 5. You can find the same thing over, I believe it's 1 Chronicles 14. It retells the story. But 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. That was a word for somebody. Keep on offense. Stay on offense. And by the time they got the ball back, we just chewed the clock up. By the time they got the ball back, there wasn't any time left in the first half. Verse 17. When the Philistines that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. And the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will I deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go. And he's saying, sick them. Go get them, David. For I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Now, if you have a word like that, you're going into battle pretty confident, aren't you? And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord has broken forth upon my enemies before me. And the breaches of the water, he called the name of the place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. So they had they put their gods in the valley. David's guys go and burn them. Verse 22. Excuse me. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now they just got beat and they show back up. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gotten victory over a sickness and then here we go again?
Yeah, there you go.
Or you get victory in finances and then here we go again. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up. Now listen to this. But fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of the going of the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. Isn't that something? Notice some things here. David has been anointed king. David is anointed king, and the Philistines hear about it, and they're upset about this. Why? Because David killed the big guy. They hadn't forgot that. You let the big guy go down, and we're going to remember this, right? It's a remember the Alamo moment for the Philistines. Texas, you get that, right, when I say that? Remember the Alamo? I remember one time when we weren't married. I was in the Air Force, and we did We flew over to Hawaii. We did routine flights to Hawaii, and so every now and then you'd have to draw one of those flights. And the plane would usually break down there. I don't know why. We got a door warning light here. We got to stop for another day or so before we can go back. Just saying, it always seemed to happen that way. Never happened that way in Alaska. It only happened, or in North Dakota. Only happened in Hawaii. I don't know, weird tropic, I guess. I don't know. Does something to the sensors. That's all I got to say about that. So I decided I'm going to go surfing because we have an extra day on the ground here. So I went to the north shore of Oahu because that's supposed to be the best surfing, you know, in all the islands, right? So a bunch of us get in a rental car and we go over to the north shore, and I'm looking at this, and it looked pretty intense, you know. And I see this little kid about this tall out there just, I'm thinking, he can do that, I can do that. It wasn't good. I got beat short of my life. Knocked down Spencer. Knocked down tumbling underwater. And then it pulls you back out there, does it back to you again, then pulls you back out there. Like, I'm like, am I ever going to get out of this thing? Came up bleeding, cut up. Didn't realize it at the time. My shorts were down at my knees. Didn't even know it. I was just like, literally dazed. And then the little kid comes up to me and he goes, and here's what he said. Hallie, you okay? And, you know, Mr., you okay? Which was a put down. And I looked at him and I'm going, kill that kid. Because I looked at him and I'm like, this little guy can do it. I can do it. Air Force, man. Steely-eyed missile man. That's what I am. Beat me short of my life. I thought I was going to drown, Spencer. And so I realized that frustration I had for, shut up, kid. You know, I don't need you to come up and ask me if I'm okay. I'm not okay. I'm bleeding. And so that memory in there, and so the next time we went back, you want to go, no, I don't want to, no, don't want to do that. No. Learn my lesson. I'll go watch you, but I'm not doing it. They remembered this little kid, David, beating the big guy. You wondered where I was going with that. I tied it together. And so when he's anointed king, they hear about it. They're going to go get him right now. Let's get him before he gets stronger. So they set themselves up in the Valley of Giants, and David asked the Lord, what do I go get him? And the Lord said, yes. Now, when they came back, David, what did he do? He inquired again, didn't he? Yes. Now, why did he do that? Because he already had a word. He already had a word. Why didn't he just go on the word that he had? That was the word for then. See, now, here's what the Lord's saying in this right here. He's saying, they don't respect you, you know that. But now they don't respect me. So now I'm going to go before you. You see what he's doing here? And when you hear me going before you, then you come in and finish it up. But now it's a battle between me and them. Some of you need to get that in your spirit. Don't immediately just go back to fighting again. Go and inquire of the Lord. Okay, what would you have me do this time? Because it's back. Lord, it's back. What should I do? My God. And then go back and find yourself another verse and whatever he tells you to do. If he tells you to go back and fight it the same way you fought it last time, then fight it that way again. If he tells you a different way, then use a different way. But keep your foot on the pedal. Keep your foot on the pedal. Don't go off on defense now. Go on offense, because it's personal. This time the Father says, no, you wait by the trees, and when you hear the rustling in the trees, you know that I've gone before you, because it's personal, and I'm going to take care of this for you. This is why I said go back to the Word, even the words you've memorized, and read them again, and become fully persuaded what God has said and what He's going to do about this. Watch Brother Copeland talking about fully persuaded. We'll come back and finish.
Now, this kind of faith, this strong faith, this faith that doesn't stagger, number one, it has to be founded and grounded on the Word of God. Now, how do you get fully persuaded? See, that's not a mental thing.
No, somebody
could give you all the facts, and I mean the whole thing, and you're saying, yeah, you know, I believe that's true and all that. But you know when you're fully persuaded and when you're not. When fully persuaded comes, it's like, oh, yeah. Man, something happens, and it happens in the Spirit.
And this is why we operate. This is why we operate and live out of the Spirit, not out of our head. This is why I said, go back and read those verses and get it in your spirit, man. You guys are quiet. 1 John, the first chapter and verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What does it mean to walk in the light? What does that mean? As long as you walk in the light, you have, listen to me now, I'm gonna share something. This may be a sacred cow moment for somebody and may tilt you. Once again, Pastor Terry and I have been taking this from Brother Hagin's book, What to Do When Your Faith Seems Weak and the Victory's Lost. And this is what he says. This is what he says in chapter 3. Chapter 2, he was talking about make sure what you're believing for is in the Word. Chapter 3 is make sure that sin is dealt with in your life. And listen to what he says right here in this verse, when he's talking about this verse. He said, what does it mean to walk in the light? As long as you walk in the light, you have. Hear what I just said to you? As long as you walk in the light, you have. There's an automatic cleansing from all sin by the blood of Jesus. He is washing me all the time. That's chapter 3 of that book that this series has been taken from. The devil's now going to sow thoughts in your head, suggestions, but we don't walk by thoughts of our head, do we?
No, we don't.
You walk by your spirit, man, by your heart, not by your thoughts in your head. You have all kinds of thoughts. Listen, I have crazy thoughts in my head all the time. All the time. I can kill them if I don't give voice to them. The enemy will tell you, the thoughts die if I don't give voice to them. The enemy will tell you, if you were really spiritual, you'd have never thought that. If you're really saved, you'd have never thought that. No, that's not true. Don't agree with that. Stay on offense. Listen, if you're wrong, you already know it. Correct it. Come on, guys. Don't you already know when you're wrong? Correct it. Brother Hagin says in the same teaching that what might be a weight to you is not a weight to me. Lay aside every weight. In 1 John chapter 3, listen to this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. If your heart condemns you not, you can have confidence. What am I talking about when I say your heart? I'm talking about this inner man, this inner witness. You know, don't you? The Passion Translation of that same verse. Let me read this to you. Whenever our hearts make us feel guilty and remind us of our failures, we know that God is much greater and more merciful than our conscience, and He knows everything there is to know about us. Isn't that beautiful? My delightfully loved friends, when our hearts don't condemn us, we have a bold freedom to speak face to face with God. Isn't that beautiful? So you know your heart. You've received a new nature, haven't you?
Yes.
You know what it feels like. It's like taking a shower with your socks on. It doesn't feel something. This isn't right. You understand what I'm saying? Like David. David had a covenant. David said in Psalm 118, verse 130, "The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of your word gives light." This is why I told you at the very beginning, we've got to stay with the word. Because if you stay with the word, I have light on the subject. Walking in the spirit and not walking and walking after the spirit are not the same thing. Let me just say what I just said to you again. Walking in the spirit and walking after the spirit are not the same thing. Anytime your heart is turned toward God, you're walking after the Spirit. The fact that you're here this morning means that you're walking after the Spirit. See that? See, that makes you feel better about yourself already today, doesn't it? You're walking after the Spirit. Doesn't mean you're walking in the Spirit. You can still walk in the flesh at church. That is possible. If you don't know that yet, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it is possible. But you're walking after the Spirit because you're here. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together. That's what the word said, right? So you're walking after the Spirit today because you're here. That's a good news, right? Yet the greatest hindrance to living victoriously is something that we should understand. Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. The greatest hindrance to living victoriously is something we should so easily understand. I learned this verse, memorized it, go over it, over and over it. There is therefore now, when? Now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How many of you are in Christ Jesus? You're saved. Let me help you with something. Those of you that are in Christ Jesus, raise your hand again if you're in Christ Jesus. I'm going to look, make sure that there's not anybody that's not, because I'm going to get you saved right now. She got her hand up real quick. Let me help you then. There's no condemnation right now. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin condemned sins in the flesh. The law was not weak. The flesh was weak. And so He came in the flesh, strong in His flesh, to become weak in His flesh, to defeat this. So honey, I don't care how weak you feel right now. You're not weak. You're strong in the power of His might. Identify yourself with Him and realize how strong you are. For the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you. He will quicken what? Your mortal flesh, your body. My God. So there's no condemnation on this now. The enemy just took off running from somebody's house right there when that started happening. That's the righteousness of the law. Might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. My flesh is weak. The law was not weak. Now, he condemned sin in the flesh on Jesus. Let me read you that from the Passion Translation. So now the case is closed. Dismissed. The case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. My God. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish, my God, because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Yet God sent us His Son in human form to identify with human weakness, clothed with humanity. God's Son gave His body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and the power of sin. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living His life in us, and we are free to live, not according to the flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Woo! The fact that you're here today proves you're walking after the Spirit. Now I just have to yield to His direction. Go fight them. No, wait, I'll go fight them, then you go fight them. Now I just have to yield to what He's telling me to do because I'm walking after the flesh, and now when I do that, I'm walking after the Spirit. See it? It's not a hard process to walk after the Spirit. It's just doing what He says to do to you in the Word. It's easy. Easy, easy, easy. The case is closed. I love that. He sent His Son in human form to become it for us. I love that. That's beautiful. Every righteous requirement of the law. God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Honey, you're not weak. You're stronger than you realize. The law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. This thing has no power over you now. You are truly strong in the Lord and the power of His might. When you start talking this word like that, from that position, the enemy thinks, man, that's Spencer, but it sure sounds like Jesus. Because it has the same power and weight and authority. He remembers the thumping he took. And he literally can't do anything about it. What is condemnation? Some people say, I don't even know what that word means. It literally means unfit for use. A condemned building is unfit for use. Well, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. At one time, I was a condemned building. Because the perfect holy law of God condemned me. But now I'm not a condemned building. I'm made alive by the master builder, right? My building's not condemned. See, that'll set you free right there. If you're struggling with your physical body with sickness right now, your building's not condemned. There's therefore now no condemnation notice on your building. Oh, the enemy tries to nail up a notice that your building is condemned. It's not condemned. It's quickened by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. A condemned building is usually an impoverished building, isn't it? It's not worth, the land isn't worth anything. You know, you can't turn around and sell that and flip this house, can we? Because we have to go in there and redone stuff. But here's what happened. God was personally at work in Jesus Christ on the cross, rebuilding, remastering, retooling, reconciling us. If I offered you a brand new Mustang right now, yes. Here's a brand new Mustang car for you, 2019, or I offer you a frame-off restoration, 65 Shelby. Which one you want?
I want Shelby.
Most of the people in here disagreed with you, Cindy. They want the old frame-off restoration. It's worth more. It's worth more. Somebody took the time to frame-off restore that thing and built it like it came off the showroom floor. That's what God did in Christ Jesus with you. You're a restored Adam is what you are in the earth, anointed with His power and His glory. My God. When you disqualify yourself, you don't feel worthy. You feel undeserving of God's blessing, His favor, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Why is it we continue to deal with this? You have to know how to counter it. There are four sources of condemnation. I'll hit them real fast. The devil, Revelation chapter 12, he's the accuser of the brethren. See, here's the deal. Well, let me tell them to you real quick. The devil, other people, yourselves, or the law. If I'm always looking to the law, it's going to condemn me. I can condemn myself, other people can condemn me, and I can allow them to do it by agreeing with it, or the devil. And right now I'm focusing on the one with the devil. The Heavenly Father loves me. Let me help you with something. I was born on a Sunday. I was in church the following Sunday and pretty much have been there ever since, except for a brief period of time. And all that time, no one ever taught me the difference between condemnation and conviction. I never knew the difference. And I would confuse the conviction with condemnation. And I thought condemnation was actually conviction. It's not the same thing. Is there anybody you don't know the difference between the two? Thank you, honest people. Let me help you. Your Father loves you and He will convict you, but He'll never condemn you. Because if He condemns you, that's it. Do you hear what I just said to you? Because if you really truly believe that everything He says, so He'll convict you but never condemn you. He'll talk about your actions and attitudes. Let me tell you what condemnation does. Here's how you can recognize it. Condemnation pulls you away from Him and will push you down. You're an idiot. Can't believe you're so stupid. You're such an idiot. God's not going to love somebody that can't get it straight. That's condemnation. It's all about you, and it's pulling you away from Him and pushing you down. Conviction is pointing to a mistake. It won't say, you're the mistake. Hear what I just said to you? It'll point to a mistake. It'll point to a stupid, but it won't say you're stupid. That's how the Holy Ghost will convict you of unrighteousness. He will convict you and He'll pull you closer to Him. He'll say stuff like this, Greg, you're bigger than that. You're better than that. I've delivered you from that. Don't you remember how I delivered you from that? And you're better than that. That's not the way you act. That's not even your attitude. I know you don't like that. This is who you are. Start reminding you of who you are. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. Come on. That's how He does it. Think of the Good Samaritan coming down off the horse to help the guy. That's the Holy Spirit's conviction. He'll come down so that you can go up. Oh my God. He came down off the horse. There's somebody a sermon. He came down so that I can come up. You deal with the devil with authority and relationship. Let me tell you the best way to deal with him. It says resist the devil and submit to God. If you'll resist the devil and submit to God, how do I do that? I'll show you. Father, I thank you for your love and your forgiveness. You destroyed the works of the devil. You said a righteous man falls, but you never quit loving a righteous man. You never abandoned one. You never quit loving me and you never abandoned me. Hear that? You start praying like that. You start saying stuff like that and the enemy will flee. I thank you that you've healed me of all my diseases. I thank you that you're looking for opportunities and ways to prosper and bless me. I thank you that you're giving me witty ideas and inventions and creative ideas that'll provide for me and my family for generations to come and provide for the covenant kingdom. This is why preaching any measure of legalism will slap shut out the move of the Spirit from a church. Lucifer, I'm a redeemed man. Hallelujah. Amen. And I just corrected that issue. So you can hush now. Lucifer, listen to me. I'm a redeemed man. And so I'm the full authority and power of the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. Boom. Well, I don't know how to do that, Pastor. Find somebody that does and get near them. Until you learn how, find somebody that knows how to do it and team up with them and say, I need your help to rebuke the devil for me. I hope you were blessed by that tonight. You know, one of the greatest ways you can learn about the covenant is by getting the Word of God in you. It's not too late
if you hurry and you have all your things together quickly, for you to be part of Kenneth Copeland Bible College, I want you to get the information, kcbiblecollege.org. Maybe you can't do it this year, but you can do it next year. Get the information now and get yourself ready to be taught the Word of God at a level that you've always wanted to, but now that it's made available to you. Get moving, get going, kcbiblecollege.org. It's going to start here very quickly. We are already part of the way through July. Matter of fact, the Southwest Believers Convention is right knocking on the door. It's going to be amazing. If you can get here to Fort Worth, I encourage you to be here. If you cannot get here, at least watch it on the network. So many other things where the ministry is going to be somewhere near you. Let me just take the time right now and roll this little commercial spot and let you see somewhere where the ministry is going to be near where you are. Watch this.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event.
This is my preaching buddy for 50 years.
50 years.
50
Man,
years.
Man, we must have started when we was three.
And 2019 is going to be the biggest year ever. We're a team again. We're going to preach together all year long, 2019. And if you miss it, it's your fault. We want you to be there.
July 22nd through 27th, attend Southwest Believers Convention at the Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, USA. August 29th through 31st, join Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle at the Midwest Victory Campaign in Southfield, Michigan, USA. September 12th through 14th, join Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle at the Gold Coast Victory Campaign in Queensland, Australia. November 7th through 9th, join us at our nation's capital for the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
I heard about Kenneth Copeland Bible College at the convention in 2017.
And I think I was watching an EMIC church service and I heard them announce that they were going to release Bible College. And as soon as I heard that, I felt something drop in my spirit. I was like, I know I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to be there.
I was actually at Southwest Believers Convention back in 2017. I found out about it and I just kind of felt God tell me that I was supposed to be here.
When I heard about the college, I was like, this is the place I need to be. This is where God's calling me.
God has been so good ever since I've been here. I've just had confirmation after confirmation that this is where I'm supposed to be.
It was actually April or May, my senior year, I was getting ready to graduate. I felt more leading to come here. I was just more at peace about coming here. And I'm so glad I did. I know that this is where God wanted me. I came here and it's just stretched me so much.
So it's been a wonderful experience and I'm so glad that I'm here.
We release our faith for the greatest Southwest Believers Convention in history. What kind of convention are we at right now?
All the greatest Word of Faith teachers here, and the atmosphere of all the Spirit-filled people is really like you can touch it. It's so tangible and so electric.
There's a difference in being like here in the atmosphere where you're around other people of like precious faith. I think it's really important to just be physically present.
Get in this environment with like-minded believers. It will change your life.
This conference is going to be the best conference you've ever had in your life.
When you get saturated with the Word for 10, 12, 13 hours a day, I mean, that's a gift that you give yourself.
Don't miss the Kenneth Copeland Southwest Believers Convention, July 22nd through the 27th at the Fort Worth Convention Center. Register today at kcm.org/swbc. And remember,
Jesus is Lord. Come on, amen.
What are the voices of today's youth? What do they hear?
Jesus always gives us the victory. There's no use in you ever being afraid of anybody or anything.
We must raise a generation to hear the voice of God for themselves.
If you are required to figure it out before you step out, you will never step out. God's ways aren't designed to make sense. They're designed to make faith.
You can live in a place where faith moves mountains.
The time is now.
I promise you signs, wonders, healings, and miracles will follow you, and you will change campuses, and you will transform cities and regions.
Faith isn't just believing, but action activates faith.
Teaching a generation to cut out the voices. Come to 1440 at the 2019 Southwest Believers Convention, July 22nd through the 27th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas.
I know those announcements go by so quickly. They go by really, really quickly. Let me give you the address on the website where you can go and you can find out all the information you just saw fly past you, kcm.org/events. KennethCopelandMinistries.org/events. And you can go back and you can find out all of these places where the Southwest Believers Convention, the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Boy, that's an important one this time of year. Plus all the other things, the Bible College, they're all there and they're made available to you. You can go anytime and get the information that you want to know. All right, I want to welcome a station, by the way, WSJT 15.5. Over-the-air broadcast station, now part of the Believer's Voice of Victory Network in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the network. You know, there's so much happening with the Believer's Voice of Victory Network. There's some big announcements coming, and you need to pray about it, get in faith about it, get in agreement with us about what's happening here, right here on the Believer's Voice of Victory Network. And if you don't have it, you need to get it, whether you watch us on Roku or Dish Network or however you watch us. We want to thank you for being part of it. Okay, we're going to have a great Sunday service this next week. You won't want to miss any minute of that. Know this, that we are absolutely in love with you. We pray for you and we bless you every single day of the week. The church staff, every morning, prays for you, our partners. And so we bless you in Jesus' name. Know this, I love you and God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. I'll see you Sunday.